For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot. I've been talking with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd, about repentance. And of course, there are so many of God's commands which we would like to tell the Lord are too difficult. We just can't do that. How can you ask me, Lord, to do these things? What is repentance? I'm not sure I really know what it means. I don't know whether I can do this. And here's a poem written by Amy Carmichael. You and I love Amy Carmichael, don't we, Val? And she seems to have a poem on every subject. Never will I ask of thee more than thou canst do. Now, of course, this is a poem putting these words in God's mouth, but they are thoroughly scriptural. Never will I ask of thee more than thou canst do. Ever I will be with thee, Savior, Shepherd, too. Never shall go forth from me a command too hard for thee. Trust me then, O child of mine. Faith knows not to fear. Thou art mine, and I am thine. I am always near. Near to be thy strong defense, quietness, and confidence. I have some notes here on what repentance is not, and I found these very helpful because it is confusing when we earnestly and honestly want to forgive somebody, but we haven't really repented of our own feelings against that person. But then maybe we have brought that wrong feeling under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and we're pretty disgusted with ourselves that we had to repent. But it's very interesting to stop and think, is repentance vexation with myself? No, repentance is not vexation with myself. It's my nature, Val, to be very vexed with myself most of the time, disgusted with myself. Talk about poor self-image. I don't think mine could be much worse than it is, but I don't think that's something we're supposed to waste our time on. And there's a form of pride which would like to prolong the difficulties and say, well, I really need to get this repentance done better than I'm doing, or I really need to forgive myself before I can forgive this person. And of course, it's impossible to forgive oneself. We're not supposed to. It's Christ who forgives us, and we forgive other people. Repentance is not impatience. I'm tempted to be impatient with myself, that I dilly-dally when I should repent. Repentance is not wounded pride. Oh, I just can't believe I did that. Well, if I ever say that, that is a clear sign that I am a very proud person because I feel that I have done something which was really beneath me because I know I'm not like that. I'm really a much better person than that. I just can't believe I did that. That's wounded pride. That's not repentance. And then there's self-pity. Oh, I feel very sorry for myself that I did such an awful thing because they hate me now, and I don't want anybody to hate me. Repentance is not self-pity. Repentance is not excitement, emotional excitement, getting all in a stew about repenting. Repentance is not disappointment. And one of the old writers says, do not harass yourself. Don't be flogging yourself over this. That doesn't really add to the grace of repentance. So I'll read the list again about what repentance is not. It is not vexation with myself. It is not impatience. It is not wounded pride. It is not self-pity, excitement, or disappointment.
But what it is an agreement with God about our hearts to say simply and quietly, yes, Lord, I am foolish. I am wayward. I am forgetful of your goodness and your love, and I've gone my own way here, and I want to come back to you, and ask you to cleanse me and forgive me of this waywardness, this tendency to, I'm prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. So repentance means agreeing with God that He is right on the evidence that our heart has shown, has shown our sinfulness. And it is turning away from it and asking God with a new heart to say, You will help me, Lord, I know, to watch out for this the next time, to be careful. Now, here we could say, but what about those sins that we keep falling back into? What if we keep doing the same thing? Have we not really repented? What do you think there?
Well, the true foundation of all spiritual life is the knowledge of our own hopeless, incorrigible weakness. But that has to be coupled with an unreserved confidence in God's power. Mm-hmm. Let's never imagine that we're anything but weak, mm-hmm. and God knows that we're nothing but weak mm-hmm. creatures. Mm-hmm. What else does He expect of us? And yet He keeps telling us, My grace is all you need, mm-hmm. and we can come to Him and receive grace from Him. If God tells us that we have to forgive our brother 70 times 7, surely God is willing to forgive us for the same sin 70 times 7. Right. 490 times, and I'm sure that that's just a figure of speech because there is no limit mm-hmm. to God's grace. Mm-hmm. His love has no limit, His grace has no measure. Mm-hmm. His power has no boundary known unto men.
And think of the story of the prodigal son. The father probably would have done that over and over again if his son had gone back out to squander away money again. His father would still have come, if he was the perfect father, as our Father in heaven is, he would have come waiting for his son with open arms, welcoming him back again every time his son came to himself and recognized he was better off at his father's house and better off doing what his father wanted him to do. I'm so grateful, so thankful that the Lord does forgive us over and over and over again, because where would we be if He didn't?
We would be of all men most miserable. It's not feeling bad, but confession that makes us clean again. Mm-hmm. Repentance, confession, mm-hmm. just as it is not feeling, but consent that makes us guilty. We may have a bad feeling rise up in us. Mm-hmm. We do not need to consent to it. Mm-hmm. There we're talking again about the conflict between our emotions and our will. As Martin Luther said so plainly, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your beard. Mm-hmm. And if a wrong thought arises in my mind, I don't need to castigate myself thinking, oh, how did that thought ever come into such a pure mind as mine? All I need to do is refuse to consent mm-hmm. to that thought. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I need to repent of a thought that just flashes into my mind, but I certainly need to repent if I welcome it.
Mm-hmm. And dwell on it and let it get you down. Often repentance is not simply the dwelling on the thought or, you know, asking God to change your thought patterns. It's also repenting of our attitude towards other people. In Galatians 5:15, it says, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. And that sounds pretty fierce and awful, and superficially we could say, well, I don't bite and devour other people. But I'm afraid it's too true that in the Christian church, whether it's just simply in your own marriage or whether it's when we have to get to know other brothers and sisters, biting and devouring simply means having a critical, negative spirit towards them. I know I bit and devoured my husband many times just because I was so critical of the way he was. And God showed me that critical spirit, and I could see that, like the proverb says, a foolish woman breaks down her house by her foolishness. She brings it down on her own head and around her husband and children because she's not building it up in hope and in faithfulness and encouragement. I am so thankful the Lord helped me to start trying hard to encourage my husband and lift him up and support him when I needed to repent of this biting spirit, this sarcastic or retort that comes back because we want to defend ourselves.
There's such a tremendous amount of self-righteousness.
Yes.
When we have a critical spirit, it's always, yes. Thank God that I am not like
right.
those other people there.
Exactly, exactly. Many times in my marriage, and I didn't recognize this until a few years ago, my questions of Walt, of what he did the night that he went out to a meeting, what time he got home, what time did he go to bed, my questions of what he did during the day were simply to make myself feel more righteous. And I finally recognized that I needed to stop asking him questions all the time about what he did, how did he spend his time, because so often we women think that we know how to spend our time better than husbands do, or we think we can manage our time. And I remember times when my husband would have taken care of the children for a few hours and I had to go out shopping or had to do something, and I would come home and I would criticize him for the things that he didn't do. Why didn't you think of this? Why didn't you do this? Well, you could have at least gotten this done. And that biting and devouring absolutely did no good, didn't encourage him, didn't help him. It also discouraged the children when they saw me behaving that way. So we need to repent of that kind of spirit and ask the Lord to make us truly humble, recognizing our own weaknesses, of course.
Repentance is a 180-degree turn in the other direction.
Right.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.